The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are the servants whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. And if he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. If you're friends with me on social media, you know that I have had a busy summer. I've had two different visitors come and stay, and you all know when you have to play host, it takes a certain type of energy. And I have a third who's coming, but I'm making him preach in 2 weeks because he's a pastor. So I'm like, you can come and fish, but I'm going to make you preach. So you'll meet Pastor Marcus in a couple of weeks. I've had several backpacking trips and camping trips, including going out with the young people to Cane's Head. I've gone kayaking, I've done several weddings, and even received the blessed COVID this June. And while I've cataloged all of these things on social media, when I run into someone who sees what I've posted, they say, "Man, you've had a busy summer." To which I find myself saying, "No, not really. I just kind of feel tired. I don't feel like I've done anything." Because my brain doesn't rush to the powerful feeling of being on a summit on top of a mountain or standing quietly on the beach with 20-some young people who are quiet for their first time in an entire week of being together. But my mind rushes to my car because I feel like all I've done this summer is pack and unpack my car. Moving gear in and out of it, switching out camping gear for the towels for the rugby tournament or the pop-up tent for vacation Bible school, making room for kayaking gear or whatever it is, throwing away the trash and collecting the recyclable cans and cups from many road trips and leftovers from snacks along those same road trips. But there's a handful of stuff that stays in my car all the time. A good blanket, a waterproof mat to sit on the ground, a pair of extra Tufts, a first aid kit, wet wipes, some emergency peanuts, right? Because I think I'm always going to be hungry somewhere. An extra jacket, a jug of water. Anybody else's car sound pretty similar? You've got the supplies, and there's a set of summer supplies that are different than the winter supplies, right? You got to switch them out based on what season it is and what you think you might be doing. My car is like a locker on wheels. My car is like a closet on wheels. My car is like my garage on wheels. And so much so that when somebody else offers to drive somewhere where we're both going, to the same place, the same hike, the same thing we're about to do, I feel myself get anxious. Not because I need to drive or have control over the vehicle, but because my car holds all of my emergency items. My car is my treasure and has my stuff. And not in the, "I have the greatest car ever," but Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, your heart will also be." I have turned down riding with other people and sharing the communal experience of going on a hike or adventure because it means that I have to give up the stuff in my car. I have chosen to spend more gas money to get places so that my emergency raincoat and water jug are nearby. And maybe you're thinking right now, "Oh, Pastor Meredith, you're just being ridiculous. Ride with someone else. It's fine." Or maybe you're thinking, Pastor Meredith, the car supplies are important. You've been in Alaska and you know how these things go. You need to have your car. But my point, as with most sermons, is to use a real life example that incorporates the message of what Jesus is teaching. And what Jesus is trying to teach his disciples to us is that where we place the value of our lives is where our hearts are. What we choose to invest our time in becomes our treasures. What we show up for is our treasure. Now, last week, I asked those of you here to write down on a slip of paper, and if you weren't here last week, don't worry, I had to make them interact, and it was some salty eye rolling, so you didn't miss anything. But I made people write down perhaps what their gift to put in the offering plate would be, right? Something of their time, something of what their skills are, something they can offer their community. And I asked them to write things down, and I felt privileged to read some of these things. Some of you wrote very specific things and even put your name on it. Some of you wrote more vague things that could apply to all of us. Some of the ones I read said, these are slips of paper in the offering plate, they said, help people who need help. Encourage mercy. Pray for the ones who have hurt me. Courtesy and compassion to all. These are just a few of the ones that I read, and these words show the ways in which some of us have chosen to show up in our community. But these words could apply to each and every one of us. We certainly need more mercy, compassion, and courtesy in our world today. Amen? We need a lot of it. And we know that so many of us need help in so many different ways. Amen? It's okay, you can say amen. I'm getting a little Baptist from my Baptist friends over there. It's right, right? Like, we need help, right? I need help. And we know that prayer, the conversation with God in whatever language you use, frees us from the hurt and pain that we carry with us. Jesus told his disciples that they and we do not know when the master will come knocking and hoping for us to be ready. And one way I think of his knocking, this invitation from the master, from the homeowner, from the one calling out on the way back from the wedding feast, is the ways in which we are able to show up and offer our time, talents, and treasure in the world. And often when we don't even realize it. I woke up this morning to a text message from a friend begging me to pray for him. Before I'd even gotten out of bed, begging to be prayed for. I got to wave at my elderly neighbor who lives alone as she was on her way to church and offer her a smile. I get to show up and spend time with people that I know really well, and some of you I don't know very well. The invitation to pray, to help, to show mercy, compassion, and courtesy is always present. It is always an invitation that's being knocked at the door. So I wonder then, if instead of thinking about our treasure, our stuff as the physical stuff, like my car filled with all of the Alaskan emergency gear that I could possibly need, whether it's 90 degrees outside, God forbid, or negative 20, is to think about our bodies as our cars, or garages, or closets, or whatever physical metaphor you want to use to define the space that you have for the what ifs. And instead of focusing on that physical space, prepare our bodies for the what if that Christ presents to us. That we don't know when the opportunity will strike to show compassion and mercy, but that it will. And sometimes before you even get out of bed in the morning. And it will likely strike multiple times in one day to show compassion and mercy. That we don't know what the knock on the door will come to pray for others. But it will. Sometimes when they ask and sometimes when they don't. That we don't know when the master will come home and surprise us. Whether dressed in clothes that haven't been washed in a very long time. Or dressed in an attitude that is as rancid as rotten cheese, or dressed in the same clothes of the people that you see every day around you. We don't know when the opportunity will come knocking at the door, but simply that it will. That there will be a knock, an invitation, a beckoning for Christ to be present in your life. And it's allowing ourselves to notice, to recognize, to hear those knocks at the door, those voices, those invitations, and then respond. You must be ready. We must be ready for the Son of Man, for Jesus Christ is coming at an unexpected hour and in unexpected ways. God invites us to prepare for ourselves, to pay attention to who we are and what we have to offer, to be open to where Christ is in our midst. Where might Jesus be knocking for you today? Where might the Son of Man manifest in others who you struggle to love this week? And where might the Christ, the divine teacher, invite you and all of your stuff in your car and in your being to love the world as Christ first did? Where? How? We don't know. But we know that Christ is always there and that the invitation is always a knock at the door. Do we hear it? Thanks be to God. Amen.